You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. Today we have a very Canna-centric kind of show. We have a few Canna employees with us today. We have Brian Fraley. Yes? Hello. That's Brian Fraley, and he's the public affairs people for Canna. He is the Office of Public Affairs, right?
More or less.
More or less.
Communications, yeah.
Communications guy.
Press release, design, a little bit of everything. Whatever the public sees, I try to have a hand in.
And he has brought two of Canna's employees, who are Matthew Kozak, who is he's the Prevention's Grants Coordinator.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And then there's Jason Opine.
Correct.
Who's the Tobacco Treatment Specialist.
Roger.
All right. So let's start with Matthew and talk about some of the programs that are out there, because I know that you're doing suicide and...
Yeah, so the prevention department that I oversee consists of a wide range of topics. So it includes things like our tobacco prevention program, substance abuse prevention, suicide, as you mentioned, is one of the things that we cover. Then we also do a lot of stuff in terms of building cultural connections, improving... essentially the protective factors for kids. So acting as positive mentors, giving them life skills, and a wide variety of things through probably dozens of different programs throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about how filling your time with productive things like going camping and spending time with elders, how that kind of indirectly or directly improves quality of life and prevents some of the at-risk factors for kids and other individuals?
Yeah, so definitely getting out and about, physical activity, that serves as a huge protective factor for not only substance abuse, but it also serves as protective factors against depression, suicidal behavior, and a variety of other things. So we encourage kids to get out, to be physically active, and to engage with other people. So whether that's some of our activity programs where we take kids out and we do activities with large groups of kids and we have them play team-based games and sports and a variety of other things, or spending time with your family, going out camping, hiking, fishing, or connecting with your elders through some of the other programs that we have.
So why are these things so effective?
So there's a lot of arguments about why they're so effective. Some of it is that it just gives you alternatives. So instead of using drugs, for example, you're too busy playing sports. Some of it is that it instills good morals, essentially. It teaches you hard work, teaches you ethics, responsibility, and it helps you make good decisions, because then you have things you're invested in, you have things that you value, and you know, using drugs, for example, it can cost you that. And so when you lay it out like that, if kids are participating in sports, if school is important to them, if they have a good family life, if they're invested in relationships, drugs can ruin that. And so by getting kids involved in those things, it serves as a protective factor, because it's one more reason for them not to make bad choices.
And we were talking a little bit before about a program that helps both youth and elders. And kind of that, it's kind of in that line of reasoning.
Yeah, and so we have we're supporting a program that's going on in the village of Yuzinki that started last year called the Summer Challenge. And essentially, it gets all the kids in the village involved, and it pairs them up with elders. So they help them out with tasks, whether it's chopping firewood, picking berries, catching and processing salmon. And so the kids are able to help these elders with the tasks. The elders are able to share their knowledge with the kids and kind of help them reconnect with their culture and these traditional values. And the kids have a great time. For everything that they do, it's assigned a certain number of points. So throughout the summer, as they rack up these points, they can win prizes and there's drawings. And so the kids have a great time. The elders really enjoy it. And the community as a whole has really embraced this. So it started last year, as I mentioned, and this year it's only gotten bigger.
They also hold gold challenges, which are community-wide, larger projects. So they had the Aleutic dancers came last month, and they worked with the Yuzinki dancers to do like a workshop where pretty much all ages were included in it. And people brought in like their regalia from relatives and They also are doing a beading workshop and then learning how to can salmon as more of a community-based workshop. So it's kind of a full gamut. It could be one-on-one elder and youth, or it's the entire community working together.
So canning salmon in like a traditional manner?
Traditional, or, I mean, as traditional as it could be for, you know, the past 100 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's so cool that there's a chance for kids to be helping out elders, because in this locality, it's so hands-on. You can, like, be chopping wood or canning salmon or fishing or something like that, as opposed to, like, someplace else where when you'd be helping your elders, it might be, like, cleaning up around the house or something or, like, going shopping. So this is very, like, specific to Kodiak, it seems.
Or to Yuzinki,
yeah. Is that something that is in other villages, too?
So there are some forms of it that are in other villages. One of the programs that we're heavily involved in, for example, is called Aleutic Connections. And the idea is reconnecting kids with their culture, helping elders become more engaged in their communities, and helping to build a stronger, more cohesive community overall. And so we do various workshops, such as canning and preservation classes, dress regalia making, traditional beading, a large variety of different things. And we do these in most of the villages, along with helping to support the various summer and culture camps that the various tribal organizations around the island run throughout the summer.
How frequent are those kinds of programs?
We try to do them as frequently as possible. So as far as my team goes, we have something that's going on, if not every week, then every other week. So we try to do at least a few things in each village throughout the summer.
And the teachers or the workshop leaders, are they local to the villages, or do they kind of come out on a need-be basis?
We have a variety of options open to us. So a lot of the talent that we pull to teach these workshops is from the community, because we want to keep those skills in the community. We want to grow the number of people that know how to do those things. Because a lot of the things that we see here are, you know, they're dying art forms. So there's a lot of different activities that not a lot of people know how to do anymore. So as we expand the programs, sometimes we will bring people in from outside the village or from one of the other villages to teach workshops. But at this point, it's primarily trying to just spread the knowledge that the community already has to make sure that it doesn't disappear.
Right. And Jason, do you want to speak a little bit about what you do? Because you do something very specific to tobacco. So could you talk a little bit about what you do on a daily basis?
So Canada has the state tobacco grant. And so we are able to offer services to individuals who are looking to learn more about how they can stop tobacco use, or just want to get any more information how to help loved ones, or the dangers and the hazards of tobacco, or alternative measures that they can use when trying to quit. So we offer a variety of quit kit bags that are designed specific towards individuals who are trying to cut down or quit their tobacco use. And these are specific to men, to women, women who are pregnant or who have already given birth, as well as to smokeless tobacco users like chewers, and also to electronic cigarette users and vapers. So, and these quick kits, they contain information specific to whether it's smoking for males or women, and also they have tangible hand-on tactile usage for keeping the hands busy, something that we find that with many smokers especially, that they need something to do with their hands when they're trying to quit or when they're trying to reduce their tobacco use. We also include in their candies and gums of that nature to also keep their oral fixation that need to do something with the mouth and busy as well. And we also offer guidance and counseling to be able to help individuals to meet their goals, identify their goals, to make a plan and to work a treatment plan, so that they're able to see the results and to help offer encouragement. And we also direct them to the state tobacco quit line. And it's funny because this tobacco quit line is advertised on television, on radio, but only half of the state of Alaska knows it even exists. And through this quit line, individuals can receive counseling as well as well as free NRTs, such as which are nicotine replacement therapy, lozenges, gum, the patch, for a specific number of weeks, up to 10 weeks at a time, twice a year. So this is one of the areas that I try to facilitate at Canna while trying to coordinate outreach to the villages here in Kodiak, to youth and adults, to help them to understand the hazards that are present with tobacco usage. We also try to engage in prevention at the schools by going out and encouraging healthy lifestyles in the form of physical activity, nutrition, healthy choices, and giving alternate beneficial ideas for kids to engage in that helps them to identify that tobacco in any form is something that is detrimental to their health as well as to those that are around them. And we also try to educate on second and third hand smoke, which is not just the user who's affected, but also those around them, and help them to understand that this is something that's of grave concern, considering the number of chemicals in secondhand smoke is greater than that of a cigarette, because once you start burning a cigarette, it creates different chemical compounds. So there's different chemical reactions that are more prevalent and are exposed to those in the area. And the third-hand smoke, which we try to educate on, helps people to understand that you can't ventilate cigarette smoke out of a vehicle or out of a home. It's the chemicals that get stuck in porous material that continue to have these chemical reactions, and children and loved ones in these areas pick up on that.
So I'm not super familiar with tobacco use. Could you kind of cover the different forms it takes?
Well, the primary use tobacco is seen is in cigarettes. It's also not as prevalently used, but is widely used around Alaska in the form of smokeless tobacco or chew tobacco. Also in cigars, bitties, and now, of course, electronic cigarettes, which may or may not contain nicotine or a tobacco product. So these are the primary places where you'll find tobacco.
So, yeah, we had a vape shop open last year, I think it was, although I saw a post on Friends of Kodiak that the owner may be trying to switch ownership around. And from what I remember when I was there is they have tobacco-laced or nicotine-laced options, but they also have ones without. So what would you say about the method of some people who are trying to quit smoking using vaping as like a transition, or does that just keep them like in the same habit?
That's a really good question. And really the science behind that right now is so new that it's impossible to really say how this is helping. In fact, many of the trainings that we go to basically say that the vapor that when they call it vaping, it isn't a vapor at all. It's actually an aerosol, which is small foreign matter that is being taken into the lungs. And anytime you do this, you're exposing yourself to a potential hazard. Also, because it's not being regulated in such a way that the individual knows what is in the product itself. Manufacturers do not have to list all of the ingredients, and they don't have to list the effects of the ingredients on the individual. And so you might have tobacco or nicotine free on the purchase that you're making, but it may in fact contain nicotine. And of course, many of the ingredients that are in the vaping and the e-cigarettes are not meant to be heated and inhaled into the body. They call them safe for use, but they're safe in a whole different media, in a whole different way of bringing them into the body in the form of food, but not necessarily to be heated and to expose to the lungs.
So how has Canna decided to create a specialist for tobacco. And are there other specialists at CANA who focus on other substances?
Well, this has actually been funded for quite some time. I've actually been in the position for about a year now. But before me, there was my predecessor had this position for a number of years. So this isn't anything new. In fact, this goes out to a competitive grant, and I think it's about every 4 years where the grant cycle comes up. And so we are the grantee for the Gulf Coast region. And right now, we are the only grantee. And so the state provides us with funds after we meet the grant requirements. And we have taken on three subcontractors for the Gulf Coast region, which is Copper River Native Association, the Kainai Tribe, as well as Chagachmute. And so the Gulf Coast region is actually quite a big area for oversight. And there is a number of individuals who work this same plan under the guidance of the state of Alaska in order to help reach youth and young adults as well as older adults, to help them to understand that tobacco, how dangerous it is, how it affects the individual, and how to help them to find methods and to be able to quit, but also to help them understand what the exposure is to others around them. Because tobacco is highly prevalent in Alaska. In fact, about half of all Alaskans use tobacco, which is a very high rate considering how much tobacco use has dropped in the continental United States.
What about on Kodiak? Is there a high tobacco use among our population?
Well, we don't have specific numbers in front of me to address it. Yes, tobacco use is still quite high. And it's because of a number of different factors, but mostly when you start talking about low socioeconomic disadvantages for individuals, and we know that Kodiak, as wealthy as we are in terms of nature and the location and the abundance that we have here, it is a hard place financially for many individuals. And when it comes to these types of hardships, tobacco seems to have a home, and it seems to breed really well. So we do have a lot of tobacco use still in Kodiak, and while that number has declined over the years, it still is a public health risk, and it's something that the state, CANA, and all local agencies are really looking forward to try to remediate.
Is chewing tobacco very common?
It's not as common as when I was growing up, but in fact, there are specific areas where you'll find tobacco use more than you would in other areas. For instance, because there's a lot of times smoking bans for the military, you'll find that tobacco use in the form of smokeless tobacco is used in that fashion there. And, you know, a lot of fishermen, you can't necessarily put a cigarette in your mouth when you're working in a wet environment. And so in order to get your nicotine, then you find other alternate methods, and generally that's in the form of smokeless tobacco.
That would make sense. So you spoke about reaching out to other communities in our region. When did they come on board?
Matt, you might be able to help with this, but just lately we've basically adopted two subcontractors. They had already been receiving funds through a grantee. That grantee had not pursued to accept the state's contract this year. And so basically they needed somebody in order to accept those funds for them and to distribute them. And so speaking with the representative for the state at that time, one of the solutions that came up was to have CANA be able to represent them in that contract. And so while they had previously in previous years received these funds through another entity, this year CANA is going to be representing them. Their Copper River Native Association, I'm not exactly sure how long they've had the contract with CANA, but maybe you could help in that there.
Yeah, so the Copper River Native Association has worked really closely with CANA for many years at this point. I believe it's over five. As Jason said, he's only been in the position a little under a year now, and I've only been on board at CANA for about 2 years. And so I know that they were there beforehand, but the goal of both CANA, the state, our various partners, both in our region, in our community, and around the state, is to promote wellness and health. And as Jason said, there's different trends in different areas of the state, but tobacco is still a big issue. And, you know, a lot of people, especially when it comes to things like chew, for example, or smokeless tobacco products, they might say, well, it's my choice. You know, if it hurts me, okay. But both with regular cigarettes, cigars, and smokeless tobacco, it impacts not just the user, but it impacts everyone around them, whether it's through secondhand exposure or even thirdhand exposure. So the chemical residue getting on your clothes, getting into your house. So our goal is to continue working with our community partners, with our regional partners, and with our statewide and even national partners to continue promoting that idea of, you know, everyone has the right to breathe clean air and that there's no safe level of exposure to tobacco byproducts.
And just to add on that, too, when we start to look at the numbers, that tobacco is such a problem because, you know, half of all tobacco users are going to die because of the tobacco use. And those who die are going to live 15 years younger than their counterparts who don't use tobacco. And so, really, this is a very high mortality rate when you think about it and you start thinking about the numbers that are involved. And this goes into effect, you know, basically every family is going to be exposed. Some of the numbers for high school students. It's like half of all high school students in Alaska are exposed to secondhand smoke. So they're breathing in the same air that the smoker is. And, of course, this is going to have a detrimental effect to them, their upbringing, and any chances that they have for a healthy lifestyle. So in other areas where we're going to push healthy nutrition, we're going to push an active lifestyle, we also need to understand that a lot of this needs to be in combination with tobacco cessation. It needs to be individuals that use tobacco need to understand that they play a part in helping young people to have a healthy environment. And so one of the things that we've tried to do that the state has encouraged us to do is to reach out to tribal councils into villages to help them to take the lead in this and by adopting smoke-free resolutions that say our facilities are smoke-free and for the sake of our youth and for our community, we would like to not encourage smoking use, but also that we have a limit as to how close you can be to open windows and doors so that those who are here are safe. And so this is one of the things that we are trying to work on currently. And we've had some really great responses from some of the communities. And we look forward to being able to help other communities to be able to adapt this as well.
Well, it looks like we just have a few more minutes. But is there anything else that you wanted to share? Anything that you feel like you need the public to know about what CANA is doing or what services they offer?
Well, it's a couple of the great programs that the preventions team is doing. I don't know if you'd call it subliminal, but it's showing positive activities that kids can do that are kind of alternatives to things like smoking or drugs, including today we have Tuesday activities down at Brynoff Park, which is in 5 minutes here.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, so Jason, myself, as well as the rest of my staff, were at Brynoff Park every Tuesday from 1 to 3 o'clock to run activities. And then on Thursdays, starting at about 10 a.m. until about 3:30 in the afternoon, we run another program called Explore the Rock, where we take kids out to different places on the island. We bring in guest presenters to teach them about lessons. And it's all combined with that idea of building those important life skills, building those resiliency factors, and then educating kids. Because I know when I was in high school, for example, you know, scare tactics about drugs, it was a really popular method. There's a lot of research that shows that it doesn't necessarily work. So we combine that with trying to give kids as much information as we can so that when the time comes that they're faced with these decisions, because it's not an if anymore, it's just a when. So whether it's middle school, high school, when they leave the island for college, we want to make sure that they have the information to make good, healthy choices.
All right. Well, thank you guys from CANA so much for joining us, Matt, Jason, and Brian. You can find this archived on kmxt.org.